Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board today. Looking forward to our dialogue and discussion together on the issue of the hour. I pray that you're tuned in, that you'll call your friends, relatives, neighbors, acquaintances, and invite them to listen to this broadcast today and each and every day as we face the issues. As we face the issues, let me remind you we do so based on the authority of Scripture. And it's talking about using truth. In fact, it was George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's what we're finding in society today, is a literal hatred and animus toward the truth. But Jesus says to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Well, what are they to stay in? What are they to continue in? Continue in my word. What is the word? The word is Jesus Christ is the Logos of God, the word of God. But Jesus said in John 17:17, thy word is truth. And so it is the truth book that I believe we need to stick to when we're searching for answers and discussion on issues. And may I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, you can dial the telephone, 831-0917. 831-0917. Get your telephone call right through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have dialogue and discussion, entertain your question or comment. Your addition and comments are always welcome. And this broadcast, we always enjoy having you call in and join the dialogue and the discussion. It's a Q&A broadcast, question and answer, where you can call in and ask the question. We prefer your question be relative to the broadcast of that hour. But nevertheless, it is open mic that you can call in, and love to have you participate in this discussion today. We're going to be asking the question, do we have a racist president? Do we have a racist president? Or you could broaden it, is America a racist nation? Ladies and gentlemen, have you noticed that anyone, anywhere that says anything that is counter position to the socialist Democrats today or the Islamic jihadists today, the Islamic invaders of America, have you noticed that it's automatically considered evil, wicked, and racist? I've said for many years now, and I believe it's still true, when an individual is void of any intellectual ability for a debate on a subject, they will default to the term racist. Some months back, I had a black pastor that called me after a radio broadcast, and I was dealing with the Black Lives Matter Gestapo group and the three women that's involved in it, their communist socialist linkage and background. And he called me and he said, you're just a racist. And I tried to reason with him on the rationale for the broadcast and what I'd said. And he said, you're just a racist. And after about a 3-minute conversation, he's calling me a racist the fifth time. I said, sir, it's obvious that you are intellectually have an intellectual deficit on discussing the issue that we're talking about. And as a result of that, you have the declension of just going right to the term racist, and that's all you know. I don't have time to waste with my conversation with you. And he hung up. But ladies and gentlemen, our president's being called a racist today. But I want us to understand, before we go into the discussion of the issues at hand on this subject, I want us to analyze the term racist. What is a race? In fact, the Bible is very clear in Matthew 24. It is the prophetic text dealing with all of the future of this old world and what's going to happen in the last of the last days, called the days of the tribulation. throughout the scripture. It's called the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is from the rapture of the church to the return of Christ and everything that's in between. And Matthew 24, verse 5 and following, for many shall come in my name and saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Ladies and gentlemen, by the way, the last days are marked by, according to the scripture, of false religious leaders, false spiritual leaders, found in verse 5. And you should hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Verse 7 is what I want to talk about. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Verse 8, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. If you please, you look at the understanding of the scripture. All of these things are simply the birth pangs, the labor pains that are leading up to, and the travail that's leading up to the final days of this old world. But ladies and gentlemen, where the scripture says, for nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. The word nation there is the word ethnos, and the word kingdom is the word in the Greek text basileion. So listen to the scripture. For ethnos shall rise against ethnos, or ethnicity. We get our word ethnicity. For ethnicity shall rise against ethnicity, and basileion, kingdom against kingdom. That's talking about national kingdoms, national rules and rulers. Ladies and gentlemen, it is very, very clear that in the last days we're going to see what we're seeing, where there is a battle among ethnic groups around the globe. May I remind us, it's the difference here. We're finding the difference, what's called the people groups, or the different nationalities. And we see this coming to pass today, ladies and gentlemen, with the battles, the wars that's taking place and rumors of wars. You have the Iraq battle. You have Iran, Russia, China, Egypt, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Syria, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And God said this would happen in the last days, and we're witnessing that today. But what is it that took place that caused the division of the race that God created, the race of people? God created only one race, as Ken Ham said, and that's the human race. But what happened that caused God to divide it up? And as it was dispersed globally based on a language group, you find then your ethnicities taking place. In Genesis, the 11th chapter, it deals with the Tower of Babel. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone and slime they had for mortar. Verse 4 and following. And they said, go to, let us build us a city and a tower, whose top may reach unto heaven, and let us make a name, lest we be scattered abroad among the face of the whole earth. That's what they did not want to do. They wanted to become, by the way, this is the first indication of a one world order. This is the fundamental, foundational essence of it right here in this text. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of the men of men builded. And verse 6, and the Lord said, behold, thy people, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do, and now nothing will be restrained from them which they have imagined to do. Go to, let us go down. By the way, it's an indication of the triunity of the Godhead. Let us go down, and there confound their languages, that they may not understand one another's speech, so that the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all of the earth. And they left off to build a city. Therefore is the name of it called Babel. That's where there's the babbling, not understanding one language of the other. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's set the stage. Let's set the understanding and the fundamental foundation. We have one race of people on the globe, not just in America, but on the globe. And that's the human race. Within the human race, you have the ethnicities, the ethnos, the ethnicities, the different ethnic groups. Based on language groups, you find that ethnicity. And God's the one that did the scattering. God's the one that broke up the human race into the ethnic groups around the globe. So, ladies and gentlemen, when we understand that there's one human race, one race of people, And you understand that when someone cannot discuss an issue, as the Mad Squad or the Mod Squad or the Squad that's literally heading up the Socialist Democratic Party, when they cannot debate an issue, when they cannot intelligently communicate about the issue, then the first thing they want to do is to somehow, some way, get into a quagmire of calling names, and especially calling the name of the president, in relationship to what he is doing in America. Ladies and gentlemen, I've said before, and let me insert it at this point, I believe it's as a result of God's divine intervention that we have Donald J. Trump as the president of the United States of America today. I believe we would already be on the final leg of the destruction of America had it not been for God's placing him in office. But ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand there's a need to love America or leave America, just as our president said. Now, you might not go along with his curtness and his terminology sometimes, and I agree with that. But I just had a discussion earlier today with an individual, a dear friend, and we're talking about that. And I don't know of too many people that's in New York City that doesn't have the same communication as President Trump has. Keep in mind, that's his, I'm not agreeing with it. I'm not saying that it's wonderful, but that's his personality. And as he said before, when he was running for office initially, he said, if I get hit, I'm going to hit back harder. And that's exactly what we've seen him do. But I think that what he's done as a whole has been of a major benefit for our nation today. But here's an individual that I believe could say it better than I could. Some of you know the name Jesse Lee Peterson. Jesse Lee Peterson is a conservative black radio talk show host. And Jesse Lee Peterson said, love white people or leave my country. I think it's fascinating. He had about a 4 or 5 page article. He says here, this month of July is my second annual celebration of White History Month. America is great. Thanks to white people. But it's so overrun with blind white hating people that we now have a Muslim woman with a head rug in Congress. Representative Ilhan Omar, Democrat, Minnesota, is an evil American hating, Christian hating, social justice warrior. But she falsely claims, and I probably love this country. She falsely claims, and he quotes you, I probably love this country more than anyone that is naturally born, end quote. Her kind of love, this is Jesse Lee Peterson speaking, her kind of love is the same emotional, egotistical spirit as angry single black mothers who raise thugs and defend them when they commit crimes. He further says, I've been saying for years that if anyone does not love this country, they can leave it. If you hate white people and you believe in so-called racism, even though whites let you into this country, go back to Africa or wherever you came from. Same with the white communist Antifa members who hate America freedom. Get out of our country, end quote. And again, that comes from Jesse Lee Peterson, dated July the 21st, 2019. He's a black conservative radio talk show host. Now, I couldn't have said that as he said it, and it'd be authentic and understood, as I'm prayerful that you've understood it today. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we are faced with a major, major quagmire today coming out of the socialist agenda that is now fighting with the term racism. Everything is a racist. Everything that's done is racism. If you dislike the border patrol, then it's racism. If you dislike the border wall, you're racist. If you dislike the policy that for immigration, where you've got to make application for a refugee status from the country that you're in, then you're racist. If you say anything about Islamic and the Islamic takeover of America, and you're talking about Islam, then you're a racist. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of hearing the term. Let me remind you again, if you want to call in and join this dialogue and discussion, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You can call 831-0917, 831-0917, and join the discussion today. Here's an article that says, Minnesota schools make an Arabic class mandatory. Now, I'm getting to a point where I want us to go and understand this quagmire that we're in as a nation, and it's being bantered about by the term racist. Minnesota schools make Arabic classes mandatory. after Obama allowed hundreds of thousands of Somali refugees to enter into the USA and settle down in Minnesota, that state's ethnic landscape changed radically. Christianity and light began to disappear in the sea of darkness and Islamic leadership. It seems like so long ago now, when Minnesota was mostly American and when English was the tongue of the land, but those days are totally gone. They've been replaced. English has taken a backseat to all languages, that is Arabic. Beginning in the fall, Minnesota public schools will be forced to indoctrinate children by teaching them Arabic language throughout the school's year. The classes will begin in the second grade and continue through graduation. A proficiency in Arabic will be a requirement for graduation in the Minnesota schools. Further, the article says Minnesota's Department of Education representative explains, the state has changed. Our population is now more ethnically diverse. Notice it didn't say racist, but ethnically diverse. It's the ethnicity that is being talked about. This is seen in our schools and in our businesses. In order to have a future in the state, one must be able to adapt. This adaptation will involve an ability to master a new landscape, a new language, and it involves the majority of the tongue, which is now that of the Middle East, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, do you hear what this article is saying? That in the state of Minnesota, they're now requiring children from the second grade through graduation to understand and to be able to fluently speak in Arabic in the United States of America. And yet we as conservatives, we as other ethnic backgrounds than Arabic, you don't hear anybody from the media saying anything about it, that we're literally changing the face of our nation by changing the language in an entire state, Minnesota. And that's where the majority of the Islamics were transported by Barack Hussein Obama when he was president. He did more to damn and damage our nation than any other president or group of presidents in the American history. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question and comment, please.
It's interesting on that point to realize that, Barack Obama sent that, $140 or $150 billion to Iran, pallets of it in cash, so that those mullahs could have it. And of course, they use that to enhance their terrorist ideology and do things like taking this British oil tanker. Matter of fact, it's several they've taken now. But he also imported a boatload of folks, extremists that have very little good to say about this country. Matter of fact, I keep asking the question, this Ilhan Omar, has she ever been caught saying anything good about this country? She feigns love or affection for the country, but it is definitely feigned love. Show me a tape. Find me a tape anywhere. Find me a recording anywhere of her speaking the words that would indicate that she finds something redeeming, something good, something wonderful, something lovable about this country. I don't think you'll find it. But, on this note, it seems like since Donald Trump has been elected, all you know what has broken loose. We're being pushed. We're being attacked on every front.
Absolutely. And one of the things that you find taking place with that, and I just made mention of that earlier today to someone I was speaking to, our president was accused when David Duke wanted to support the president in his election campaign, and the media went ballistic on it, said that he was being sponsored by white racists and white nationalists, et cetera, et cetera. Nothing has been said that Ilhan Omar was also supported publicly by David Duke, and the media has been silent on that subject. Do we lose our caller? The media's been silent on that subject. Let's talk about that for a moment. Ilhan Omar, born in Somalia, a Muslim, elected to Congress in Minnesota's 5th District, openly hates Israel. She's an anti-Semite. United States of America brought her to America as a refugee when she was about 15, some say 12 to 15 years old. She married her brother in order to bring him to America legally. She's been discovered to have used fictitious names to enter the United States of America. Omar has been found filing false tax returns and has been caught with doing so. Here's an article that says Ilhan Omar used false name to enter the United States of America. An investigative reporter who has helped compile compelling evidence that Ilhan Omar, Democrat of Minnesota, committed immigration fraud by marrying her brother and lying about it under oath now cites multiple sources within the Minneapolis Somalia community who claims the congresswoman entered the United States in 1995 as a fraudulent member of the Omar family. Steinberg is the reporter's name, who was New York City editor of the PJ Media from 2009 to 19, writes that there is now probable cause to investigate Omar for 8 instances of perjury, immigration fraud, marriage fraud, up to 8 years of state and federal tax fraud, 2 years of federal student loan fraud, and even bigamy, end quote. To be clear, the facts describe perhaps the most extensive spree of illegal misconduct committed by a House member in the history of the United States of America, end quote. Quote, the Omars allowed Ilhan, her genetic sister Sarah, and her genetic father to use false names to apply for asylum as members of the Omar family. While the three received asylum in the United States, Omar's 3 other siblings used their real names, obtained asylum in the United Kingdom. According to British, her British siblings, according to abundant evidence reported by Steinberg, over the past 3 years, this was discovered. Before applying for asylum, the congresswoman's name was Ilhan Omar Siad Elmai. Last month, WorldNet Daily, a Minnesota agency found that Omar violated state campaign finance rules and filed federal taxes in 2014 and 15 with her current husband while she was still legally married but separated from her previous husband. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got a major problem with these that are calling President Trump racist when they have broken and violated every law that could be thought. If it had been me or you, we'd already be in jail for breaking the federal laws as she has. But she is in the United States House of Representatives spouting out vile, vicious, vulgar words for our president and calling him a racist. I believe I have our caller back on the line. Greg, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
I'm not sure when that call dropped. I was talking to this phone with the phone sitting in my lap so I wouldn't be breaking any laws here in the great state of Florida. And the call dropped. Nonetheless, I was ranting. I was going on and on about how it seems like ever since Donald Trump has been elected, these folks have become unhinged. The attacks are coming from every which way, whether it be the Islamic aggression, whether it be the LGBTQIAP aggression, whether it be the border push, whatever. And I believe all of them are joined together. To try to topple not just the Trump administration, but to topple the United States. It's part of a Cloward and Piven strategy, overwhelm the system. And I believe that's what we see taking place today.
Overwhelm the system, and that's the exact, how would you say, modus operandi that Islam uses. In fact, you can go to the Noble Quran and look at the surahs, the verses, as we'd call them in our Bible, look at the Quran and understand the total absolute intolerance on the part of Islam. In fact, on page 234 in my book, Is Islam Tolerant? Subtitle on this topic here, Islamic Law and Tolerance. According to Robert Spencer, as stated in his book, The Myth of Islamic Tolerance, page 63, we find that the legal ordinances which are enforced on all Christians and Jews who reside in Muslim countries. 1, Christians and Jews are not allowed to build churches, temples, or synagogues. 2, Christians and Jews are not allowed to pray or read their sacred books. 3, Christians and Jews are not allowed to print other religious books or sell them. 4, Christians and Jews are not allowed to install crosses, Star of David, on their homes or their churches or any symbol of their fidelity to their religion. 5, Christians and Jews are not allowed to broadcast or display their services on radio, television, or other media. 6, Christians and Jews are not allowed to congregate publicly. 7, Christians and Jews cannot join the army because they're not allowed to assume leadership positions among the Islamics. And the footnote that I placed here, Islam is therefore the most intolerant religion in the world, yet Christians are accused of not being tolerant. And that's what's happening now with President Trump. They're accusing him of intolerance, but rather than saying intolerance, they're saying that they're tolerant, he is intolerant, therefore he's a racist.
Isn't it interesting to you that Barack Obama had such preference for Islam, of course, sending all that money to Iran, assisted them in the chaos that they're creating now, in the Strait of Hormuz, but also beyond that, as ISIS was going across the region, they call them ISIL, ISIS, as Muslim terrorists spread across the region and slaughtered Christians left and right, caged them, burned them, drowned them, beheaded them, crucified them, and the cry was to allow Christian refugees into the United States. There was literally resistance, pushback on that front. At the same time, he allowed 80,000 Somali refugees that, you know, ended up in the state of Somali, in the state of Minnesota, 60,000 of them in Minneapolis. And those individuals are the ones that elected Ilhan Omar. Those individuals are the ones that, you know, today Minneapolis, Minnesota is the number one home of terrorist recruitment in the United States today.
Yes,
the people
that's right.
Not realize what's taking place. There is an invasion. That invasion has been assisted by Barack Obama. That invasion has been assisted by leftists. That invasion has been assisted by your Pelosi's and Schumer's and Democratic Party of this nation. This is not at all what our founding fathers intended. This is actually counter to Article 4, Section 4 says a Republican form of government shall be preserved for all states and all states shall be protected against invasion. They're not doing their job.
Absolutely. We have been invaded. In fact, this is the reason I've restated it several times. Our demographers tell us that by 2050, America will be an Islamic nation controlled by Islam. Here's an article, Greg, that says U.S. pageant winner refuses the hijab, gets dethroned. Officials in the Miss World America pageant removed Miss Michigan's title because she refused to allow a Muslim woman to forcibly put a hijab on her head and then reported the incident to the social media. Quote, I suggest that you fully review what you stand for and what you condemn, wrote Miss Michigan Kathy Zuhu, the pageant officials who they ordered to have her title removed. It says the 20-year-old model who supported President Trump was informed that she had been stripped of her Miss Michigan title. Pageant officials accused her of offensive, insensitive, and inappropriate comments or content. What had she done? She simply refused to allow that Islamic woman to put a hijab on her head. And here's what happened. This article says, in quote, do you know that the insensitivity? What's insensitive? This is what this pageant woman was saying, and they rejected it. She said, what is insensitive is the Middle East women get stoned to death for refusing to obey their husband's orders to wear hijabs. A Muslim woman tries to be forcibly to put on a hijab on my head without my permission. I tweeted about it to social media and got the attention of the media. Almost everyone was supportive of me refusing to be that situation. She added, are the people in the Miss World America implying that they advocate for the punishment of women who refuse to wear a hijab? This is what happens in America when you have, like in Michigan and Minnesota, where they're the major headquarters in America for the Islamic refugees to come in, and they're rising up now taking control. Greg, we've got about a minute left in the broadcast. Let me simply say this. There's an article that I have before me. It says Muslim groups aim to get 5,000 Muslims to run for office in 2020. It is the Council on American Islamic Relations, headquartered in Arizona, that's pushing for 5,000 Muslims to run for state, local, federal office for 2020. What do you say? Wrap our broadcast up on what our people need to hear, what we need to understand, what we need to be aware of, and we need to be prayerfully fearful of, and ask God to intervene.
I had dinner the other night with some wonderful folks that came from Russia about 30-something years ago, and right at 30 years ago, and they were tormented because they were Christians. They were fined. They were jailed because they were Christians. And those folks, as I spoke with them, I said, tell me about what's going on now. And one dropped her head a little bit and said, I love America. I love America. And I've got news for you out there, folks. If you're born here, great. If you came here, if you don't love America in either category, if you don't love her, leave her, go. Find some other place. Do not destroy what God has blessed us with here in America.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that it's been a blessing to you, informative, educational, and challenging. And I pray that you'll tune in next time as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.